Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time, hello everyone, welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was me from the Letting Go meditation track on my new album, Your Inner World, and you can also get a copy of it on Inclusion Revolution Together with Love. It's been a wonderful energy here in the nation's capital with the new Congress in power, and I guess it feels a little bit like maybe about 10 years ago when many of us woke up just feeling a sense of hopefulness and a sense of change upon the horizon. Now, something that I explored when I was at an event a few nights ago was that don't be too excited and too complacent and too comfortable where change is concerned, because we remembered what it was like when everything seemed to have been going a little bit okay. We were all a little bit relaxed. We were feeling good. Well, I'm just inviting everyone to allow the feeling good energy to be a catalyst to keep moving you, progressing you, inspiring you to see what more can we do. We've got to make some shifts and changes first from within our beings. And then the second thing is to make shifts and changes outside of us, which basically is whatever is happening in my immediate world. There are a lot of simple little things going on around our lives. And if we can just begin to make simple changes beginning from there, we'll have the weapons needed to make even grander or bigger changes. We've known historically by now that it's not the majority that we are going to have to wait for to make changes, but it's when a few well-intended voices filled with compassion, empathy, and passion, and of course with a lot of consistency, determination, and a great group of people are surrounding them, that change does happen and it does occur. People are inspired by the power and the force of an individual who is driven by truth and by good, by divinity. I'm not talking about the others who tend to mobilize folks who use hate as a political weapon or as a weapon to harm other people or to push their stories forward. But I'm talking about those folks historically who've used love as a social and political impact to empower our humanity and to empower our lives and to grow things. We're in an environment of now the possibility of growth being enormous, but always remember, first start from within you. What are you feeling inside? Where are these thoughts taking you first? Are they taking you closer to an embodied state of truth and divinity and power? And secondly, how are you observing that truth, divinity, and power revealing its amplification in the world at large, which means it starts from the way you take care of your body, the way you dress, the way you keep your physical environment, and then when you get out of the house, the way you keep your car, the way you go into your office, the way you go into your business, how do you keep that? It also extends to how did you treat people today? How are you dealing with the person at a cash register or at a checkout counter or a person in the cubicle next to you, or if you're a CEO, how are you treating your staff? How are you treating the people that you need to keep inspired to keep your company on the top list? Today, it's my pleasure to welcome our guest, Rocco Cozza. I love that name. It sounds like a song, Rocco. And Rocco Cozza is an entrepreneur, lawyer, talent manager, motivational speaker, investor, and coach. Rocco is on a mission to inspire others to live their best lives and unlock what they have inside. Whether speaking to children or adults, he leads with kindness and believes that treating others with dignity and respect is the only way to affect positive change in the world. He says it's all about perspective. It's about believing in yourself. Over his career, he has co-founded, owned, and operated multiple companies, in a variety of industries from real estate to brick to healthcare. Roku is also the founder of the law office of Roku e Koza and CEO of the Koza Company, a talent and business management firm working with entertainers and athletes to help manage their careers and revenue-generating opportunities. His new book is entitled The Alpha, A-L-P-H-A, Way, 5 Ways to Unlock Your Greatness and Living Your Best Life. I'm so looking forward to talking to Roku. Roku, Happy New Year to you, my brother.
Happy New Year to you as well, and thank you so much for having me on. I truly appreciate it.
Oh, well, you know what? I love what you're doing. You were raised in the small town of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, in pretty modest upbringings. But what led your interest in business? And tell us about your background and your multiple businesses.
Yes, as a kid, I had this love of business. Kids would, play with toys. I would make up fake businesses. So I always had this entrepreneur bug inside. And then as I got older and started working in various jobs, I just loved interacting with people and learning about sales. And then when I went to law school, I looked at being a lawyer was really a means to an end to me. I didn't want to be that traditional lawyer my whole life. I looked at it as a way to open doors and give me opportunities, and also as a fallback plan. If everything else in my life went wrong, I could always practice law. I came up in, like you said, very modest upbringings. No one in my family went off to college or graduate school. I was the first one. And it was just something that I don't know where it came from, but it just developed over time. And I've been fortunate in my life and in my career to be involved in many different businesses and have many different wonderful opportunities.
That's fantastic. You know, a lot of times when I hear about the stories of folks and their upbringing, in some way it's like it was preparing us in a very large way. But in another way, have you ever felt like you just didn't belong sometimes in your family's circle because you had bigger dreams and they were kind of playing it safe?
That's a really good point. And I was fortunate enough to have a wonderful mother, and I had a fantastic grandmother who were really my inspiration. My mother used to always tell me she never cared what I became. It was never about be a doctor, be a lawyer, be someone. All she cared about is that whatever path I chose, that I chose to be the best at it. That was really ingrained in me as a kid. And, like a lot of people have these role models they look up to, the rich uncle or the successful father. I didn't have that. My parents got divorced when I was very young. My mother remarried my stepfather when I was 10. He was an engineer working at a pipe factory. So there wasn't anyone that was this role model I was looking to. I just knew that I didn't want to live like this. And I wanted to spread an impact.
I get that. I found myself where I mostly raised with my mother, but she came from a very traumatic background. And there are so many parts in which I said I won't repeat that generation of living. But now here I am, like almost approaching 60. She's in her whatever age. And there's so many things that she does that I'm like, I go, how in the world did I end up in that karmic energy? And then I catch myself, Roku, and I go, but I can see how much love she has for God. I see how generous she is. I see how much she'll give her last dollar to a homeless person. And I would be like, that's why I ended up here. That's why I ended up there. And so sometimes you wonder, are these early beginnings really the catalyst to help us be more empathetic towards mankind? Because you have a lot of empathy towards helping others. And you want to inspire others to live their best. Is there something specific that you can turn to that you say was definitely responsible for this?
Again, I think it really boils down to my mother and grandmother just always pushing me to be the best I could. And I took that to heart, and I always gave everything I could to whatever I was doing. And then as I developed and got older and started learning more about personal development and just the way we as individuals work, I would look at other people and say, those people just need inspired. I knew at a certain point in my life when I needed that inspiration, and I found it, and I wanted to be that beacon of hope for other people that, like, look, I'm nothing special. I wasn't born into money. I wasn't given anything. I just worked really hard and figured stuff out, and I wanted to give people those guiding principles to follow to do the same thing.
That's good. I get that. So we hear about a lot of your success stories, and we've heard or seen the success of many people in the world today. And a lot of us miss the fact that there was some work that happened before we got there, before folks got there. But in particular, the challenges. Were there some challenges which you encountered, but you were able to use those challenges or those losses to thrust you more towards really becoming a successful entrepreneur and beyond?
Absolutely. I always look at them as learning opportunities. You know, what I tell people is you never really fell until you quit. And I mean, the first entrepreneurial venture I got into out of law school, I bought some real estate with two fraternity brothers of mine, two of my best friends. Both of them were best men in my wedding. We bought real estate confident in our ability. And within the first week of owning those two properties, everything that could possibly go wrong with a house went wrong. And we lost a lot of time and money. But it was, I looked at it like, okay, I learned a lot from that first experience. It gave me a 10-year education in business. And I just use that as a catalyst to make less mistakes next time.
Now, sometimes when you get into business with friends, it tends to break apart because of challenges along the way. Did you still stay connected with your friends?
They're still best friends to this day. You're 100% right about that relationship. The majority of businesses that I'm a partner in are with good friends of mine because I've always said to them, our friendship will always come first. It's not about money to me. And if I feel that our friendship is being strained over a business, I will leave the business because friendship is more important to me. Relationships are more important to me. And I've just been fortunate enough to have an amazing circle of people and amazing friends and family that I've been able to foster these relationships.
I did that a lot in my 20s, but it's funny, even as I grew older, I got to a point where even if they seemed they really were friends, I've seen also how money corrupted their intellects and they saw that the money was more important than the quality of the integrity that we held. And so it was like I had to separate myself from that vibration because I knew they needed time to work that deep level of intentionality through, but I know I couldn't be around that vibe anymore. And I don't know if you've ever been there.
Yeah, and there have been some situations where I would say that the people I was in business with were not that close, or they were not from that close circle of friends. They were maybe that next level of friend slash acquaintance. And that was my own fault. It was bad judgment. I tend to be a pretty good judge of character. I just judge certain things wrong. I have nothing against that person that I was in business with, but they needed to figure stuff out themselves, like you said. And they weren't ready for the relationship I was trying to build. It's having that self-awareness.
Yeah, very true. Well, look, congratulations on your new book, The Alpha Way. What prompted you to write this?
It's an interesting story. I do a lot of talks to high school and middle school kids in my area. And after one of the talks I was giving on entrepreneurship and my career journey, I was talking to a few of the kids afterwards, and they had asked, like, what are some of the things that, you know, would help a person be successful in life? And have a really good answer. I gave them a bunch of stuff. So I went home that night and started thinking through my success, the people I've worked with, and really boiled things down to these five principles. And I said, look, if you understand these five things and implement these things in your life, this is how you can really live your best life. So I created this online course and I turned it into a book. Someone, I can't remember who it was, someone prompted me and said, you should write a book. And I started it, got halfway through, and then it sat there for a year. Then I went to a entrepreneur retreat this past summer, and one of the gentlemen that was there was a best-selling author, and I was telling him about my book, and he asked me a very simple question, why haven't you finished it? And I had no good answer. So it was end of July. I was turning 41 on August 16th. I made a commitment to that group. I would finish the book by my 41st birthday, and at 11 p.m. on August 15th, I finished the book.
I love how you remember the days and the time. That's so powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I it was definitely because I was sitting there, I'm like, I have to finish it. I committed to these people, and I won't go back on my word. And I did it, published it myself, and it's been a fun ride, definitely.
Well, you know, in some of our teachings in Raj Yoga, when we say alpha, we are talking about source, the divine. And we always use the word alpha and beta, which means bring all of your embodied powers with you, the power of love and purity and peace with you so you can co-create a world that everyone can benefit in. So I love the word alpha, by the way, Rocco. It's one of my favorite. So I'm going to test you to do another book called Beta, which is when everybody has got everything in their life and everything is good. In the book, you say that you realized that there are five keys to really living a successful life, and you call them alpha, and you say alpha is really a way of life, a creed. Explain a little bit more about your interpretation of Alpha and about the five keys that you outlined in the book.
Sure. So Alpha is really a mnemonic. It stands for attitude, leadership, passion, hard work, and accountability. And those five principles, you know, I've lived my entire life that way. And most of the people I've worked with that have achieved success understand those five principles. And it's really understanding the importance of attitude and how to maintain a positive attitude, understanding what leadership is. And it's not a position. It's a way of operating, you know, having passion, and understanding that in life, success is hard. It takes hard work. And then the last one, really being accountable to yourself, to others, to something or someone bigger and greater than you. And that's, I think, a piece that a lot of people lack. They don't have accountability. And I looked at it, and this is a way of life. If you can understand these five things and really implement them in your life, you can do whatever you choose to do.
Yeah. Sometimes we don't know what to choose, though. What happens if we're in that spot? Because we're so influenced by the external interpretation of success versus the internal reality of what success feels like.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody has to define their success. And that's a great point. You've got to understand, why do you want success? And that takes a lot of work. It took me a long time to figure it out. You know, when I was in my 20s graduating law school, I had just had my son, trying to figure out how to be a dad. My why was money. I wanted to support my family. I wanted to make a lot of money. That's what I thought my why was. But as I matured and learned more about myself, I started digging deeper. And I really found my why was to inspire other people. I've always had the heart of a teacher, and I really wanted to help other people live a better life. And that just took really dissecting myself. For someone that's stuck in that position, you're looking at that external view, you've got to take a step back and understand, why do you want success? Or how are you defining success? What does that look like to you? Then understand why you want it, and then figuring out the ways in which you can achieve it, if that makes sense.
It does, and sometimes it's a little tricky, Rocco, because a lot of us learn by hardship versus from everything running smooth and even doing the, you know, the to-do list and ticking all the ticks in which got my all my numbers in check, now I'm supposed to be successful. But I always sense sometimes like there's something recorded in the soul, Rocco, as if I don't believe that I'm worthy enough to succeed yet. And even though we've done everything right, the success doesn't come externally to the point that I am visualizing it. And then internally, I'm still coming from a place where I'm not full. Can you speak to that? Because there's something very subtle going on. In Washington, D.C. alone, in our area, there's so many people that have great degrees and are out of a job.
Yeah. Two things you said in particular. One, about that belief in yourself. You know, everything starts there. A lot of people, and I used to, you know, coming from modest upbringings, you know, that was a question I had early in my career. Do I deserve to be successful? Do I deserve to have those things I want? We all deserve that. You know, we're all human beings. You know, I believe we're all born inherently good and can create a life we want, but we just have to believe it. And that's changing the way you talk to yourself. We fill our heads with so much negativity every day. You have to learn to flip the switch and talk to yourself more positively. That's how you start building that self-belief. And once you start believing in yourself, things start to happen. Again, it takes time. And yes, you're right. There are people that have, you know, amazing degrees that are out of work, but there's probably a reason why. And it could be the way they're talking to themselves. It could be the way they're perceiving the world. But the other point you said the word yet. And this is something I always stress to people. You know, and when I work with people that I coach and they say, I can't do that, or I don't know how to do that, I always encourage them to put the word yet at the end of the sentence. And this is how we start training our brain differently and talking to ourselves differently. If I say I can't do something, my brain says it's over. It's done. I can't. Mm. When I say I can't do it yet, that means I'm still on the journey. I'm still going to figure it out. I just haven't done it yet. And it's really subtle nuances in language and how we talk to ourselves that really help us create that self-belief and start moving in the direction of success.
But the soul can hear what your conversation is going on inside of your head. And so, yes, that yet, I think it's a very, very big yet.
So, you know, America isn't yet at the point that it's supposed to be, because here I am in Washington, D.C. And just this morning, Rocco, I'm getting ready, and I'm just thinking, I just can't believe we're here. And I was just playing back all these presidents in my head and leadership in our country. So, I mean, let's go beyond presidency, but there are so many different types of leaderships in the world today. And you say that great leaders will just have this uncanny natural ability to lead with respect, compassion, and dignity rather than with an iron fist or even trying to exert their authority. Please, can you offer our listeners some of the qualities that really define what makes a great leader?
Yeah, so a great leader, it's not by position. It's by what they have inside. It's having clarity, you know, putting forth a clear vision, being inspirational, being authentic. I look at a lot of bad leaders of our time, or I would say ineffective leaders. They are trying to be something they're not. And I think the most impactful leaders are also the most authentic leaders. They admit their faults. You know, we are human. We all have faults. There is no such thing as perfection. And the best leaders admit those faults. They become authentic and people look at them differently. They garner this higher level of trust from people because they become relatable. And there's actually been studies that have been done on leadership and, you know, when leaders show kindness and compassion and have that real sense of empathy, which is another quality of a good leader, teams work better because they feel safe. They end up trusting that leader more. And when people feel safe in the workplace or in an environment or in an organization, they tend to increase their creativity and innovation. A leader has to really be a compassionate, empathetic, authentic person.
Okay, I'm going to ask you another question. What if you do have a leader or someone of authority that expounds fear? They lead on the basis of fear, bullying you. They create this energy around them to kind of push you away and build within the minds of people, I'm greater than God. I'm unstoppable. You can't touch me. Look at how much protection that I have for me. How does someone who lives an authentic life, a truthful life, who believes in the balance of the universe, how do they cope with being in a workplace with leadership of that nature? Do they just leave that job?
That is one way to do it, right? You can just up and leave. But the other way to handle that is those types of people, the leader you just explained, there's a bigger problem that they're dealing with. And sometimes it's hard, and don't get me wrong, this is not easy to do, but sometimes as humans, we have to take a step back and be empathetic towards that leader and say, why are they this way? What are they afraid of? Because when people exert fear on others, they're typically afraid of something themselves. They're leading with fear because they have fear themselves. And sometimes it's just taking that step back to try and understand the human behind the mask. And it's hard. And some people do end up just leaving an organization because they can't deal with it. But I always say if you can lead your life with a positive attitude and being authentic, those types of leaders less of a negative impact on you.
That's interesting, because
that's just
I do
my belief.
Know that it is. I believe you. I get it. I think what you said was spot on. It's something that I remembered bumping into in my 20s and 30s, that you knew they were intoxicated with their position of ego and power, and they wanted to make sure that you knew that too, and if you didn't, they would make your life hell or you could get out. And it becomes a real conflict of interest, because sometimes you really love what the company stands for, but then you do have to go through that portal, which is very painful every day of your life when you have to show up Monday through Friday.
It's how we perceive a situation, right?
It's
how we react. One of the books that changed my life was by Jack Canfield. He wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. He wrote a book called The Success Principles. In that book, he talks about taking 100% accountability for everything in your life. And he gives this formula, E plus R equals O. And once I read that, it changed my life. And E is event plus R, the reaction, equals the outcome. And what he said is, you can always control one of the variables. Therefore, you can always control the outcome. So in an event where you have that boss that is that way, you can still choose how you react to it, and therefore have impact over the outcome. That simple formula really changed things for me, because I started looking at situations differently. I didn't have to get upset and stressed. I could choose to look at it differently. I can choose to not let it bother me and be thankful that I had a job or that I was in an organization I loved, and this was just one piece of it. It's all about perspective.
I get that. It is, and it's something that you talk a lot about, too, in the book. Before we hang up, some steps that you can leave with our listeners about attitudinal, transformational, any techniques you can help us?
First, I always say every day when you wake up, you have to decide how you want that day to be. You can choose to be happy or miserable. It's your choice every single day. Not every day is going to be perfect. Understand that. So that's okay to have those bad days. We all have them. But the first way to start changing your attitude is wake up every day and make the decision to have a good day. Be intentional about your day. Second thing I always say is positive affirmations. A lot of people dismiss them as, you know, new age. They're so powerful. Just the way you talk to yourself and tell yourself that you are deserving of success. You know, you are going to have a good day. You are happy. When you say those things out loud every day, and I practice them every morning, I say these positive affirmations out loud, it really changes your mindset for the day. The other thing I would, piece of advice I would give is every morning, which is what I do, is write down three things you're grateful for. No matter where you are in life, you always have something to be thankful for. And when you write those things down, it just puts your mind in a different state. Those are the tips I would give to all the listeners out there to really change the way they operate every day.
Well, thank you so much, Rocco. I think those are very helpful. Are you on a book tour? Are you traveling to Washington, D.C.? We'd love to host you for a book signing.
Yeah, if I get down there, I do have actually a couple business trips planned over the next couple of months, and D.C. may be a stop. So if I am in that area, I would definitely take you up on that.
Oh, we would love that, Rocco. Leave us with a website where we can find more information about your work. And thank you so much. Sounds like you're just really spot on and living your best life.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You can just go, it's my name, Rocco, RoccoCozza.com, and that's, you can find out all about me there. And I really appreciate you taking the time to have me on. And this was just an amazing opportunity.
It was my delight to have you too. Take good care and all the best for this year.
Same to you. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So guys, live your best life. Don't waste it. Amplify your perception. You know, it's your perception and your attitude, as Rocco was saying, that really is going to determine how you see yourself and the world around you. So take that moment to pause and bring yourself more to that amplified state of being your real self. Hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Rocco Cozza. And if you want more information about Rocco, go to exactly what his name says, Rocco Cozza, R-O-C-C-O-C-O-Z-Z-A. I can only imagine what they used to call him in school. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same and raise your light so high that you just can't help it. Just can't help it, but really you're going to end up just brightening the light and the life of somebody else. Please get a copy of my latest CD, Your Inner World Guided Meditations. It takes you on a journey. It's about an hour long, and you'll be able to go through the four portals of your own inner world and always come out with the energy of God's light right there for you. Here is Blessings Upon Blessings by Elizabeth Padilla. Take care.
colors of the rainbow, rising up to brilliant white. And no matter where our choices lead us to, I will always find the face of God in the face of you. This is the beginning, not the end, of blessings upon blessings, my friends. Of blessings upon blessings, my friends. And we are committed to service. We can change the world with our two hands, with our heart and soul. Yes, we understand. When I think of mountains caressed by oceans blue, I will see the sacred island as a part of me and you. And like the stars that warm the darkest night, we will always fill our world with our love, our life, our light. This is the beginning, not the end, of blessing upon blessings, my friends. Of blessings upon blessings, blessings upon blessings, blessings upon blessings, my friends.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.